Lord, help us today to be good ground for your, the seed is good. May our hearts be good to receive. And I pray for hundredfold increase in Jesus' name. Amen. The Jewish rabbis counted 613 commandments in the first five books of the Bible. 613. Some of them just applied probably to Israel at the time. Some of them were ceremonial and so forth. Of course, some of them still apply today. You shall not murder is still good. That's still a good one for today, all right? So 613. And one day a religious teacher came up to Jesus and asked him, of all the commandments, which one is the most important? And this is how Jesus answered him. Mark chapter 12 and verse 29. The Bible says, then Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments, first place of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, or as the Amplified Bible wraps it up, love the Lord your God with your entire being, with everything that is within us. So let me go ahead and just give you the title of the message today. You'll see the verse here, God willing, in just a moment, but let me tell you what it is. It's, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. And I'll show you that. And I open it up with that verse. Actually, if you were here or you were online with us when we opened the service, the scripture out of 1 John chapter 4. And if now that it's coming back to my mind, if you come in the front door, they didn't know I was sharing this, but they changed the little flag right there by the door. You know what it says? We love him because he first loved us. And it has the hearts on the door. But this commandment, this most important of all the commandments, they're all important, but this one being most important, according to Jesus, reveals truth about God and his heart for us, and it reveals truth about his will for us. I want to ask you to think about this a second. Please don't say anything out loud. I'm not asking anyone to show their hands, raise their hand, or make any. You'll know. But if you've ever had the experience, maybe some of you online, some of us, you've had the experience of loving someone but not being loved back in return. And what that feels like or what it felt like. That reveals the heart of God, I believe, because he's God. He could just say, like we might want to sometime, you just do it because I said so. And even though he could, his heart is, I love you with a love that can't even be expressed adequately in human language, and I just want you to love me back. We love him because he first loved us. And I wrote, in fact, let me tell you this real quick. That question, what is the most important commandment, is a question I answered in this 21-day devotional, Walk in Newness of Life. And it's day 7. So I want to ask you, for those of you, if you have it, maybe we have some on the table here if you want one. It's also available on all the audio formats. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and so forth. But day 7 goes into this. So on Wednesday, if you have a chance, maybe read it or read it again. And I want to get your input on it because this is all it's about, really. I wrote it. Three reasons: to lead people to Jesus, encourage us in our walk with the Lord, and equip us to disciple others as Jesus commanded us to do. So I hope it'll just be a tool. That's why I put it in this toolbox with some of my dad's tools that I had. That's why I'm sitting up here as a little arrangement. But it's a tool, and you don't have to be a theologian to ask somebody, just ask, and you don't have to say anything right now, but so what stood out to you in day 7? Anything stand out? Did you have, call them a takeaway. Did you have a takeaway from that? And then the closing question is, God revealed himself and demonstrated his love for us by sending Jesus to the cross. In what ways can we demonstrate our love for him? You don't have to be a Bible scholar to answer that. You don't have to be a Bible scholar or a theologian to ask it. It's just, I wanted to keep it simple. but practical to live it out. And so but I said on that day that love inspires us. It motivates us. Think about all the love songs that have been written, you've heard over the years. I'll swim the ocean and back for you. I'll go to the moon. All those. It's, even though we can't physically do it, there's the inspiration is there. Why does a man get up and go day in and day out to a job that he really doesn't like, but he's got a wife and a child in the house waiting on him? Why does a mom get up early and prepare a meal for her children and wash clothes or maybe go buy groceries? I mean, I know as parents and spouses, we may feel some responsibility, but don't tell me love doesn't come in there somewhere along the line. So would you turn to Luke? Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Because if you think about this, so why did Jesus endure, and really this was for a period of years, at least several years, misunderstanding? Why did he endure the rejection and all the mockery and the ridicule? And then as it came up to it, why did he endure the spitting, the shame, the beating, the scourging, where a whip was wrapped around his body with little bits of metal or glass or bone and had skin ripped off of his back? When it says by his stripes we were healed, it actually in one place says it's singular. By his stripe, he might not have had any skin left. Why did he hang on the cross gasping for breath for 6 hours to bear God's wrath against our sin? And he knew something was, he in his divinity knew what was necessary, but in his humanity, he wanted to draw back from it is understandable. This is what happened in Luke chapter 22, verse 40. It says that when he, Jesus, came to the place, the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." He had several of his disciples with him, and he was withdrawn from them about as far as you could throw a stone, and he knelt down and prayed, and this is what he prayed: "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me." The cup he's referring to is the cup of the wrath of God against our sin. So he said, "If it is possible, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And then verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed even more earnestly, and he was under such pressure, talking about stress, that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Blood and sweat were coming out of his pores, because in this place of Gethsemane, which means olive press, he felt the weight. Think about it. We can't even comprehend it. The weight of every sin that has ever been committed or ever will be committed, he had that on him, crushing him. Why did he do it? Because he loved us. And because he was committed to doing his Father's will. Thank God. Thank God that he was. Billy Graham said, "God loves you. Hammer that truth into your heart and mind every day. It will make all the difference." Let me read you this scripture as I ask you to turn to John now. You've been in Mark, we're in Luke. Would you go to John chapter 14? John chapter 14. And let me just read you this from 1 John. These are the scriptures we opened up this morning if you want to write them down. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "And we have known," so we got to know about it or we can't benefit from it, but it's also not just enough to know that God loves us. I'll be honest with you before I finish that. It's just coming to my mind. Sometimes people can almost just blow it off. "Yeah, well, God bless you. Yeah, I know Jesus died. God loves me." And almost just like it has no impact to them. That's not really believing. It might know it, but it's all up here. It says, well, and let me repeat for those if you're listening. I was pointing to my brain, to my mind, not in the heart. So he says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. If we want to benefit from it, we've got to not just know it, we have to believe that God loves us with unconditional love, and then he simply wants us to love him in return. That's verse 19. This is the title of the message. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Would you read that out loud with me? Let's read it together. We love him because he first loved us. Would you tell somebody next to you, we love him because he first loved us? So if we don't know it, well, let me say it this way. If we don't believe it, then we're not going to live in it. We're not going to receive it. And we're not going to love him back as we should. I believe that's why David wrote these words in Psalms 26:3. And I invite you to meditate on this verse this week. Psalms 26:3. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. I just like how it's worded here. But this is what he wrote in this Psalm 26. He says, "For I am always aware of your unfailing love, and I have lived according to your truth." See, if I'm not aware of his love, I'll live how I want. If I really believe and I keep it in my mind, it's like I constantly have to keep coming back to it. That's why Billy Graham said, every day, remind yourself, confess it, say it, God loves me. Now, Lord, help me to love you. I am always aware of your unfailing love, and I have lived according to your truth. See, if we believe that he loved us, and then we love him because he first loved us, it will inspire us to keep his word. I know we all fall short at times, but someone who just thinks they can live any way they want, with no conviction, no drawing, that's not the love of God. Jesus said this in John 14, 15, if you have it. He says, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. And so God designed us to love not only with emotion, that's good, but to love with by choice as well. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your spirit, all your soul. That's your desires, your emotion, with your mind and your strength. So in our entire being, loving by emotion, but also loving by will and choice. I picture it like this. I made a little chart here last night, and this is how I picture loving God with all my heart. And maybe it'll help, you can relate to it. I made a circle. Well, I'll say for those, if you're just listening, I picture loving God with all my heart like a wheel with a center hub and spokes. The center hub represents my heart, and the sections between every spoke represent a different area of my life. So for example, love the Lord your God with all your heart. So if I really love him, then how can I express my love for God in, I'll just say, the area of my relationships? And of course, that's a big one. So how can I express my love for God with Kim, with Brittany, with maybe neighbors, coworkers, people I go to school with, whatever it may be, whatever the relationship may be. So I want to ask you to help me a little bit this morning, all right? What's another area of our lives where we could express our love for God in? Towards you, that's a relationship, your enemies. that's exactly right. I mean, if you have them, I hope you don't, but I know we all have spiritual. Maybe those who oppose us, huh, Rick? In service, we can express our love for God by how we worship and serve. All right? Thank you. All right, Miss Charlotte? Money. So can I express my love for God in how I manage the resources he has entrusted to me? So let's use that. The Bible talks about those who love money. See, if that's first place in my heart, it's going to be expressed in how I live too. If I love money more than people, that's going to come out in how I handle my relationships. It's going to come out in service and so forth. All right? Anyone else? What are some other areas, Brother Mark? And just obedience. That's exactly right. That's probably a big one right there. Well, I guess it would include it all, wouldn't it? Yes. Keeping his commandments. Any other areas?
Our bodies.
Our bodies. in even our health? Can I express my love for God in how I maintain my temple? I got a big obvious one in my mind. Y'all use it all the time. Some of you are probably on it right now. How else can we express? Oh, none of y'all have a cell phone? So social media, can that be an avenue? Lord knows we probably need it, don't we, on some of the stuff that's out there, expressing our love for God. Anything else you can think of, Rick? Oh, okay, our words, absolutely. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the mouth what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So love the Lord with all my heart, control my tongue. Help me, Lord. How about this? Can we express our love for the Lord in our thought life? Entertainment? How about our schoolwork? On the job? I mean, is there every area of life can be a section of that's an expression from my heart that, but again, here is the key. We love him why? Because he first loved us. So if we have the love of God in our heart, then I can express that toward, and it doesn't matter what the relationship is, whether it's dating, whether it's friendship, whether it's a career, a college choice, whatever it may be, it all comes in if we will bring him in and do it that way. All right? I'll stick this somewhere. I'll put it right there. Buddy got to watch me do my artwork last night. He was hanging out. Can hobbies... just come to my mind too. Hobbies be an expression of my love for God. Why can't it? All right. Now, one more scripture I'd invite you to turn to. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And let me just bring this to a close. Romans chapter 5. And while you're turning, I believe it's possible for us to project our ways and our experiences and our limitations onto God. And what I mean by that is, I may expect God to do and say and respond to people and situations and to me like I would. And I can tell you that I did it for years. See, I thought God was angry with me because my image of God was just, he was this harsh, he was the, like almost the taskmaster, you better stay in line, you better not mess up. And if you do, there are gonna be, you know, consequences. And I know there are consequences to sin, but I was more performance-based than grace-based, I'll say it that way. And even in how I looked, in my background, because my hair was over my ears and collar at the time, I was considered worldly because you know, may have gone to a movie or whatever. If some of you ladies wearing those slacks. Now you wear them at home. Don't wear them out in public because the preacher may see you. But I've come to realize how much that God loves me, not because I'm good, but because he's good. And that was, man, that truth of God's word became a revelation and a game changer to me. I don't take his love lightly. Because God loves me, it doesn't make me want to go out and sin. It makes me want to do what's right. And when I, in my humanity, still fall and sin, I'm grieved by it. I don't want to do it. And I feel a conviction. But it's not to push me away. It's to draw me back to a father who loved me so much that he gave his son. And if he didn't spare his own son, he's not out to get me. Romans chapter 5. So when we believe God's word, we believe the gospel, and this is important, and we commit or entrust ourselves to Jesus as Lord. That's what believe means. It means to commit or entrust. So it's not just a yeah, I believe. No, it's a faith in our heart that believes and entrust our souls and our lives to Jesus as Lord. When we do that, God's Holy Spirit enters our heart. And because God is love, God's love enters our heart. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Brother Mark, you prayed that this morning in the opening prayer, that about his love is shed abroad in our heart by his Holy Spirit. And I couldn't tell you, God would only know how many times I've read these verses. But would you back up to verse 3? Because as I was reading this this week, this really just stood out to me for some reason. And it may have been because of where I am in my life and just some of my own experiences and knowing what some of you are going through in your lives. This is what it says in verse 3 of Romans 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Oh, really? I tend to complain in tribulations. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And that helps me to keep it in mind. Lord, you said count it all joy. So I'm not enjoying it, but I count it all joy because I believe you can use it for good in my life and maybe for others. So we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And the Bible says you have need of endurance and perseverance because after you've done the will of God, then you'll receive the promise. But then perseverance develops character, and then godly character produces hope. Now this hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This is what really stood out to me this week, that God's love for us will help us persevere through tribulations with hope. If I've got hope, I can make it. God's love for us can help us persevere through whatever that trial is, through that loss, through that disappointment, through that tribulation, through that trouble, and persevere with hope because we know how much he loved us because he brought that truth into our hearts when his Spirit entered at salvation. Maybe that's a word of encouragement for somebody today. Lord, help us. And then that's why I said, it makes me want to please the Lord. It's not like I just want to, oh, you love me? Okay, I'm going to go on and do everything I want, sin. That's not the right response. We love him because he first loved us. I'll close with this. And I said this in the devotional. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, even if you have the desire to please the Lord, you know by experience that even when we desire to please the Lord, we're going to fall short and sin at times. What should we do? All right. Let me read you this from 1 John chapter 1. If you want to write it down, 1 John chapter 1 and just 3 verses beginning in verse 7. 1 John 1, 7. The Bible says this. If we walk in the light, that means we walk in obedience to God's word and to his Spirit, because his word is a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. If we walk in the light, light of fellowship, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, that is constantly, it's a present tense action. His blood constantly cleanses us from how much? Even the ones we have a hard time forgiving ourselves of, the ones we have a hard time, whatever it may be, trying to move on from, all sin. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess, not blame, not make excuses, if we confess our sins, if we say the same thing about it that God says, he is faithful and just. He doesn't sweep it under the rug. He's faithful, but he's also just because Jesus died on the cross to pay for that sin, whatever it is. So he's faithful and just. So if we confess, he does what? He forgives. And not only forgives our sins, but he cleanses us, again, from how much? From all unrighteousness. You are loved. That is one of the prayers in Ephesians. I pray it. In fact, I prayed it for you this morning. I pray it for us regularly. There is a love that goes beyond human comprehension, understanding, but it doesn't go beyond believing and receiving. It doesn't go beyond revelation. And I pray, as the scripture says, that we would come to know, to comprehend, to receive, and to grasp the love of Christ that goes beyond knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank God for his goodness. So I want to ask you this morning, as we get ready to just have a little worship chorus and prepare for the communion table, I want to ask you, you think about this, please. Will you believe God's word and receive his love for you right now? An unconditional Father's love for you. I believe there's healing, not only in the truth of God's word, it is, but in the presence and love of God as well. It's what draws us. The healing, empowering, strengthening love of God. And then I want to ask you, if you would do this, and I will too, will you trust him to empower you to love him, love others, and to live by his word as an expression of your love for him in response? This is how we not only, how God wants us to live, it's how God wants us to grow. We can grow getting to know him, grow closer to him, and we can grow in love. We can grow in faith. So let's just join our hearts together. In fact, can we stand right now together as we just look to the Lord? And in fact, before I even pray, I want to give you a moment. If you know the Lord, he's your Father. I don't know when the last time you may have thanked him for what he did, but would you just thank him for sending his son? Thank Jesus. All the times you've fallen and you've failed, he hasn't given up on you. He's still faithful. Ask him to help you. Maybe for someone that means coming back home where you belong, to a father who loved you. You've been away, you've been out of fellowship too long. It's time to make it right. Come on back. Come on back. His arms are open. His heart is open. He wants you to be close to him. He's done everything he can. Now run to him. Come on, run to him. Maybe you've never opened your heart to receive Jesus as the Lord of your life, to believe in him and call on him to forgive you. You can do it right now. If he's drawing you, this is time to respond. Today is your day of salvation. So whatever the Lord is leading you to do, no excuses. Come on, let's be right with the Lord today. Before we come to this table, let's walk out of here, renewed fellowship and joy.